The National Trust is one of the best-known public institutions in the United Kingdom. Despite the name, it's not a government agency or provincial agency or anything of that kind. It's a private institution set up by Act of Parliament in 1895, and it has a statutory responsibility to own and care for places of natural beauty and historic interest, which in practice means historic houses and their contents, and it also means coastline, mountains, gardens, castles, ruined buildings, that kind of thing. The NT first started acquiring libraries, I think in 1903. We didn't start acquiring big, important libraries till the 1940s because, as I think with other countries, major changes to public policy in terms of taxes during the course of the 20th century. So in the beginning of the 20th century, the inhabitants of the United Kingdom paid very little tax. By the 1940s, they paid quite a lot. Punitive taxation regimes meant that historic houses started to come to us effectively via the tax system, and they often came with libraries. The new aspect of it, I think, has been a really serious and focused attempt over the last 15 years to curate those libraries in the same way that would be done in a place like the Fisher or any other world-class research library. But of course, like the Fisher, like everything else, there's never quite enough people and never quite enough money to do all the things that you'd really want to do. But for example, the aspiration to put the catalogues online, to be able to answer queries, to do lectures, to do publications, to have a programme of public events, social networking. So for example, we have a big Facebook site with about 1,400 members where there's lots of information exchanged, lots of pictures. That really is of the last 10 dozen years. It's always very difficult to say how many libraries and how many books we have because, of course, if you think about it for a second, what are we counting? I suppose we have about 170 libraries. It depends what you count as a library. But if you regard a library as a collection of historic books of one kind or another that are on site in a historic site and which are part of its story, then regardless of how many there are, from five up to 15,000, which is roughly the range, it's about 170 collections. The smallest of those might be just a handful of items. So we have a house in North Devon, for example, that has five books. But of those five books, one's a 14th century Parisian illuminated manuscript, and there are a couple of quite nice Renaissance books. In terms of numbers of books, we're big, but we're not huge. I think the Fisher figure I hear is about 800,000 items thereabouts. Yeah. Well, we're not as big as that, but we're probably about 350. So that's 350 in terms of numbers of titles. Obviously, if you're talking volumes, what a research library might call an orderable item, then it's probably closer to 600,000. So in other words, it's a lot of stuff. I think effectively you've got two things going on there. One is this is just a very large number of rare books, which until very recently has not been part of the international collaborative network of research libraries. So we have stuff which has been sitting on our shelves forever, but nobody's in the outside world has known it's there. And I can't think of immediate, let me just think of an example. We've got half a dozen copies, for example, of the first edition of Hobbes's Leviathan, which in terms of the number of extant copies in public collections is a significant addition. So it's we've got stuff which fills gaps elsewhere, which supplements the worldwide holdings of particular sort of books. We have significant numbers of books that nobody else has at all. So we have, you know, large numbers of 18th and 19th century British books where we have what are almost certainly the only copies. We also have many books where perhaps a fairly ordinary 17th or 18th century British or continental European book, where maybe there's a copy in the British Library or the Bibliothèque Nationale or in Yale, but that's it. And we've added another one onto, you know, one known copy. But I think maybe more than that, the real interest of the collections, obviously bibliographers, historians of the book are getting interested in not just what is the book, but how has it been used? What is the history of this object and how does it relate to the other objects with which it lives and to the lives of the people who assembled and collected books of whatever kind at whatever date? And that is obviously a very big thing because what we have effectively is about 150 separate major historic collections which have stayed together as collections and are usually in the rooms which were designed to house them, in the places where the people who originally owned them actually lived and worked. So if you want to see what Kipling was reading, you can go to Kipling's study, and there are the books lined up on the shelves exactly as they were when Kipling was sitting at the typewriter doing his stuff at the beginning of the 20th century. If you are interested, say, in popular culture in early modern England, we have a large collection, about 800 books, in fact, in the family or the house of a family of 18th century, 17th century yeoman farmers in Cumbria, in the northwest of England, in the Lake District, as we would call it. So each of these collections, when you add it all up, the collections often mean much more than the sum of the parts. And I think that's the real value of the collections, and that's the area where we get the majority of public inquiries.